Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be diving into something that's pretty major. Yeah, the whole US-China tariff situation. And wow, you guys sent in a lot on this.
Yeah, there's definitely no shortage of opinions or information out there.
Nope. News articles, expert analysis. We've even got a transcript from like a financial news segment. So we're going to try to sort through all of it, right?
Absolutely.
Really break down what these tariffs mean for, you and me right now, but also the bigger picture stuff, like what are the economic principles behind all this? And, down the line, what could the consequences be?
Yeah, that long-term view is crucial.
For sure. And specifically, we're looking at China's move to, well, they put an 84% tariff on American goods. Retaliation basically started on April 10th.
Right, and that was in direct response to the U.S. raising tariffs on Chinese products over 100% now. I think it's at 104%.
Yeah, 104%. So things are heating up, and U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent's already calling this a loser for China. So yeah, there's definitely some tension here.
Absolutely. And to really understand what's going on, we have to start with the basics. What are tariffs anyway?
Yeah, like what are we even talking about here?
Well, Robert Gulati, one of the experts we're looking at, gives a pretty clear definition. He says, basically, tariffs are federal taxes, but they're only on goods that are imported from other countries.
Okay, so not everything we buy, just stuff coming in from overseas.
Exactly. And it's not like a flat tax, you know? The percentage, the rate, it varies. Depends on the specific product, where it's coming from, all that.
Right, so some things get hit harder than others.
Exactly. And Gulati also makes the point that, look, tariffs have been around forever. It's not a new thing. Historically, they've served a few different purposes.
Like what? What are those purposes?
Well, first, just like any tax, they bring in money for the government. Revenue, right.
Makes sense. Governments need money to operate.
Right. Second, they can shift wealth around. So if imported goods become more expensive because of the tariff, it gives domestic producers an edge. They can maybe raise their prices a bit, increase profits. But of course, that means consumers, us, we end up paying more.
Right, so there's a winner and a loser in that scenario.
Yeah, kind of a redistribution of wealth. And then third, tariffs can be used to, like, try to manipulate the global market, you know, maybe adjust prices, or even as a way to, like, punish another country, almost like an economic sanction.
Wow, so there's a lot more to tariffs than meets the eye, huh? It's not just about like making things more expensive.
Yeah, there's a lot of strategy involved.
Okay, so we've got the basics of tariffs down. But the big question a lot of people have is who actually pays for them? Like, does the exporting country just eat the cost?
Well, it's tempting to think that, right? But Rodrigo Adown, another expert we've got here, he studied the 2018 trade war, and his research suggests that in that case, it was mostly American consumers and businesses that felt the impact.
Oh, interesting. So even though the goal might be to protect American industries, it's often Americans who end up footing the bill.
Yeah, that's the irony. And
Yeah.
Adown points out it's not just one or the other. Like, yeah, we see it in higher prices at the store. But American companies, especially those that rely on imports, their profits get squeezed too because they can't always pass the whole cost increase on to the consumer.
Right, so it's a double whammy, huh? Hitting both our wallets and the businesses we rely on.
Yep, that's the reality. And Stephen Durloff, he gives some really concrete examples of stuff that's likely to get more expensive because of all this, you know, everyday things.
Okay, like what? Give us the specifics.
Well, think about the vegetables you buy. A huge chunk of those, especially during certain seasons, comes from Mexico.
Makes sense. We're close, right?
Exactly. And then, you know, gas for your car. About 25% of the crude oil that gets refined here in the U.S., that comes from Canada.
So even our energy costs could go up.
Yeah, potentially. And then, this one's crazy, 80% of toys sold in the U.S. are made in China.
80%. Wow. I guess that explains why everything seems to say made in China these days.
Right. So, yeah, these tariffs, they have the potential to affect pretty much everything we buy.
Yeah, that's a little unsettling, to be honest. And Rodrigo Adown points out something else. The whole tariff landscape, especially under the Trump administration, it was constantly changing. Like today it's this, tomorrow it's that.
Yeah, really unpredictable. Tariffs would be announced, then maybe threatened, sometimes delayed, and then finally actually put into place.
So much back and forth, huh?
Yeah, and all that uncertainty, that has real consequences for the economy.
Also.
Well, Adown uses car manufacturers as an example. When there were talks of tariffs on cars, a lot of companies rushed to import vehicles before the tariffs actually hit.
Trying to beat the clock, basically.
Exactly. But that creates all sorts of inefficiencies, potential disruptions in the supply chain.
Right, because everyone's scrambling to adjust.
Exactly. And, you know, Stephen Derloff, he talks about this thing called the Economic Policy Uncertainty Index. Basically, it tracks how much economic disruption is caused by, you know, unpredictable policy decisions.
So, like, more uncertainty, the higher the index.
Right. And he says that during times of high tariff activity, that index shot way up.
Makes sense. If businesses don't know what the rules are going to be, they're less likely to invest and take risks.
Exactly. And consumers, you know, if they're worried about the future, they might hold back on spending too.
So this uncertainty, it really throws a wrench in the whole system.
Yeah, it creates a kind of paralysis.
Now, one of the big arguments in favor of tariffs is that they're good for American workers, right? They bring jobs back to the US.
That's the idea, anyway.
Yeah.
With Stephen Derloff, he offers a counter-argument. He says that tariffs are actually pretty likely to hurt overall employment in the long run.
Wait, so tariffs could lead to job losses, not gains?
That's what he's suggesting. And he uses the example of those steel tariffs that were put in place a while back,
Okay,
right?
what happened there?
Well, yeah, there was a small increase in jobs specifically within the steel industry itself.
So that part worked, at least.
Yeah, but the overall impact on manufacturing jobs across the board was negative. Like, way more jobs were lost than gained.
How come?
Because so many other industries rely on steel, right?
Yeah.
It's an input for their production. So when steel gets more expensive, their costs go up and they might have to lay people off.
Right, so it's like a ripple effect.
Exactly. And Derloff points out that over 2 million jobs in the U.S. are in industries that use a lot of steel.
2 million! That's a huge number.
Yeah. And compare that to less than 150,000 people who actually work directly in steel production.
So the potential downside is way bigger than the potential upside.
That's his point. And it's something to consider, right? Because we often hear about those jobs that are created, but we don't always hear about the jobs that are lost because of the ripple effects.
Yeah, that's an important point. And something else to remember is that, you know, the US isn't operating in a vacuum here. When we slap tariffs on other countries, they often retaliate, like we're seeing right now with China.
Yeah, that 84% tariff is a direct response to our actions. And it's not just China. We've seen Canada and Mexico propose countermeasures in the past, too.
So it turns into this tit for tat kind of thing.
Exactly. Economists call it a beggar thy neighbor policy.
Yeah.
Like, everyone tries to protect their own economy by putting up barriers, but ultimately, everyone ends up worse off.
Because global trade gets messed up.
Right. It's like everyone trying to hoard water during a drought.
And
You know, everyone ends up with less in the end.
the news article you sent, it talks about how all this is affecting global markets. Like, after the US announced those tariffs on April 2nd, the stock market took a big hit. The S&P 500, which is like a big indicator of the US stock market, it entered what's called a bear market.
Meaning it dropped 20% or more from its recent peak.
Yeah, basically signaling that investors are worried about the future.
And it wasn't just in the U.S. either. Markets in South Korea, Shanghai, Hong Kong, they all saw similar declines.
Wow, so this is really having a global ripple effect.
Absolutely. These kinds of actions have consequences that go way beyond our borders.
Okay, so let's zoom out a little bit and look at the historical context here. Robert Gulati, he makes an interesting point about how tariffs have been used in the past. He says that historically, when the US has had high tariffs, they've tended to be more stable and more targeted.
Like focused on specific industries, maybe for protectionist reasons.
Yeah, but what we're seeing now, he calls it rapid experimentation. Tariffs are being announced, changed, implemented very quickly, and often across a wide range of goods.
Yeah, there's a lot less predictability. And Gulati brings up a pretty sobering historical parallel, the Embargo Act of 1807.
What was that?
Well, basically, it was a law that banned American ships from trading in foreign ports. The idea was to pressure Britain and France.
Okay, and how did that work out?
Well, it actually ended up hurting American trade a lot more than it hurt Britain or France, and it even contributed to the War of 1812.
Wow, so not exactly a success story.
Right. And it's a reminder that these trade policies can have unintended consequences that go far beyond the immediate economic effects.
Yeah, it's like a chain reaction.
Exactly. And Gulati also raises a really important point about how the current administration is approaching international trade agreements. You know, after World War II, there was this whole system set up to manage trade disputes and promote global stability. Like the World Trade Organization, the WTO, it was designed to help countries resolve their
Like
disagreements.
a referee for international trade, basically.
Right. But Gulati says we're seeing a move away from that system. There's less emphasis on those established frameworks, more willingness to disregard treaty commitments, and we're seeing more and more use of national security arguments to justify trade actions.
So it's kind of like going rogue in a way.
Yeah, sort of. And that can create a lot of instability and unpredictability in the global system.
Right, because it undermines the whole idea of cooperation and playing by the rules.
Exactly. And Rodrigo Adam, he brings up another key point. He says that tariffs on countries that are close to us, like Canada and Mexico, they can have a much bigger negative impact than tariffs on countries that are farther away.
Makes sense. We do a lot of business with our neighbors.
Right. And Adam emphasizes that it's not just about the volume of trade. It's also about how integrated our supply chains are. Like, so many products cross the border multiple times during the production process.
He gives the example of the auto industry, right?
Yeah, that's a perfect example. If you disrupt the flow of parts and materials between the U.S. and Canada, it messes up production on both sides of the border. Even if a part is originally made in the U.S., it might rely on a component from Canada and vice versa.
So it's a very tangled web.
Exactly. And trying to find alternative sources for those parts, it can take months, maybe even longer. So the short-term disruptions can be really severe.
And Robert Galati reminds us that all of this has political consequences too. You know, these kinds of actions can strain relationships with our allies and make it harder to cooperate on other important global issues.
Yeah, trade wars don't just affect economies, they affect diplomacy too.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about how the markets have reacted to all this. The YouTube transcript you sent, it talks about this interesting initial response when there were rumors of negotiations, like the stock market actually went up for a bit.
Yeah, there was this brief moment of optimism, like maybe things would get worked out.
But then as the day went on and no concrete deals were announced, the market took a nosedive.
Yeah, reality set in. Kelly O'Grady, she reported that the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ all closed down that day.
Signaling that investors were getting nervous.
Yeah. And she talked about how there was a lot of uncertainty in the air.
Yeah.
Some people saw the drop in stock prices as a buying opportunity, you know, like a chance to get in on some good deals.
Buy low, sell high, right?
Exactly. But overall, the feeling was definitely one of anxiety. People were worried about inflation, a slowdown in consumer spending, maybe even a recession. And Kelly O'Grady pointed out this pretty stark fact. The trade imbalance between the U.S. and China is massive. Like in 2024, we imported $438.9 billion worth of stuff from China, but we only exported $143.5 billion to them.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a big gap. And that means that 104% tariff on Chinese goods, it's going to have a big impact on a lot of products.
And O'Grady, she talked to a bunch of businesses about this, both big and small. And the overwhelming message was that they can't just absorb a tariff that size.
Right. They'd have to pass the cost on to consumers.
Which means higher prices for everyone.
Exactly. And the small businesses, they were especially worried. A lot of them said these tariffs could force them to close their doors.
Wow. So this could have a really devastating impact on small businesses across the country.
Yeah, that's a real concern. Now, this transcript from the White House briefing, that gave us some insight into how the administration is responding to all this. Jennifer Jacobs, she reported that negotiations are ongoing with a lot of countries.
So they are talking to people, trying to work things out.
Yeah, and a lot of countries are asking for exemptions from the tariffs or trying to get better deals.
Makes sense. Nobody wants to be on the losing end of this.
Right. And the White House is pointing to the agreement they reached with Israel as a kind of model for other countries.
So they're saying, hey, we can work with you, just come to the table.
Exactly. And President Trump, he's told his team to come up with these tailor-made packages for countries that are willing to negotiate. The U.S. Trade Representative is leading the charge on that.
So they're trying to be flexible, at least on the surface.
Yeah, that's the message they're sending. But at the same time, the tariffs are still in effect. So it's a bit of a carrot and stick approach.
Okay, so they're trying to play hardball, but also leave the door open for diplomacy.
Exactly. And Jennifer Jacobs, she also reported that Japan and South Korea are scheduled to come to the U.S. for talks, and the leader of Italy is coming too. So there's definitely a lot of diplomatic activity going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of high-stakes poker.
You can say that.
Okay, before we wrap up, I got to ask about this whole Elon Musk, Peter Navarro thing. The transcript mentions this pretty public spat between them.
Yeah, that was something else. Musk called Navarro a moron and basically said that Tesla is mainly an assembler of parts, not a real manufacturer.
Ouch. And Navarro, he basically implied that Tesla's role is bigger than Musk is letting on.
Yeah, they definitely had different perspectives.
And the White House, they're trying to downplay it, saying it's just, you know, typical disagreements among officials. But Jennifer Jacobs, she also pointed out all the lobbying that's going on right now.
Yeah, a lot of people and businesses are trying to influence the president's position on tariffs.
So even within the administration, there's a lot of debate going on about this.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because even though there's all this internal tension, the Commerce Secretary, he's still publicly supporting the tariffs.
So it's a pretty complex and dynamic situation, to say the least.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So as we come to the end of this deep dive, there are a few key things to remember. First, these tariffs, both the ones the U.S. has put in place and China's retaliation, they're going to have real immediate effects on all of us. We're talking higher prices, potential job losses, disruptions to businesses.
And it's not just about economics either. It's about relationships between countries, global stability, the whole nine yards.
Exactly. And as we've seen from the various experts we've looked at, there's a lot of disagreement about whether these tariffs will ultimately be beneficial or not. Some people think they'll help protect American jobs and industries, while others are worried about the potential negative consequences.
Yeah, it's definitely a risky gamble.
Absolutely. And it's something that all of us need to be paying attention to and thinking about.
For sure. So, with that in mind, we'll leave you with a final thought to ponder. We've talked about the historical example of the Embargo Act and how the current administration seems to be moving away from established international trade systems. So the question is, what could the long-term consequences of all this be?
Yeah. Beyond the immediate price hikes, what could the lasting impact of this trade war be on the global economy and international relations? It's a big question, and there are no easy answers. But it's something that all of us, as citizens and as consumers, need to be thinking about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
And keep those sources coming. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into, whatever you guys send our way.
See you next time.
Until then.